Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 92 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin an entertainment talk with the latest in new movie release dates between Spider-Man, Mulan, Tenet, Star Wars, all of the big movies coming out. And then we'll move over into tech news and discuss the incredibly accurate deepfake. We've got some autonomous driving news, AI news, and some new hackers taking a Fortune 500 company for some big ransom. There's a lot to get to. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
And welcome back to episode 92 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Steve, how's life?
Life is busy and hot as balls out here.
I've got the busyness. I don't have the heat. Things are still, San Diego weather out here.
Yeah, no, we're in that mid-Chicago humid summer where it's just the sun is just cooking you, the sweat is just pouring down, the humidity is just coating you in a blanket of sweat. It's getting brutal out here.
Well, I guess we can talk about all the air-conditioned activities that you can't do anymore.
Yeah, I know.
like going to movies. So
this is horrible.
So I guess we could just jump it straight into some entertainment talk.
Let's rush through this because it seems like every week that we're just announcing, you don't get anything new for a while. And then we just keep every week, push it back.
Yeah. And that's really what it is. It's just a bunch of updates on, this last week we see that AMC pushes their theater openings back again. Everybody else follows suit. So we know that the theater chains aren't opening as coronavirus cases are still ramping up in California, which has caused closures, as well as Texas and other states are still continuing to ramp up. And AMC has decided to push back their closing date. I think their official closing date or opening date is now beginning of August. And we'll see, I guess, if that happens.
I just don't understand why, so we have a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures and things like that. We're making people not liable for their financial debts. I wonder why we just don't make these businesses not liable for COVID infections by passing a bill and let people, if you want to take the risk, you take the risk. We are so past the point of like being able to claim ignorance on this virus that it is like stupid to just keep these places closed and not let the people willing to try at least try. I mean, if I can mask up and go sit at a diner with, five people and have my waitress with a mask and everything like that, if you can go to church and socially distance and do all these other things, I just don't understand why movie theaters can't just have an usher making sure nobody's sitting too close to each other before the movie starts and at least let us try to do these things. The big talk is like, well, companies don't want to be held liable if you catch the virus. Well, that's an easy bill to pass, or that's just an easy contract to sign or something to print on the back of a ticket. Like, I just don't understand why we're not allowed to at least give it a go. Like, you can't go to a movie in fucking August after the coronavirus came out in March and just claim like, well, I didn't realize the risk. Like, you've been living under a fucking rock.
Yeah, I don't think it's the liability issue. It comes to some states, it's still just flat out closed. Like, you talk about going to restaurants and stuff like that. Well, here in California, you still really can't do that in vast majority of the state. In most of the counties or the major metropolitan counties, you can't do indoor dining. You can't go to do anything. So, and then it just comes down to if all these movies, right, Tenet, and we'll talk about all these movie delays, if all the movies are not going to actually release, what's the profitability? Like, are you actually going to have a net profit by reopening early?
Well, it's the chicken or the egg. What came first? Yeah. Are they pushing back releases because they know the theaters aren't going to open, or are the theaters not opening because they know they keep pushing back
movies
releases? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the minute the government says, look, we're going to allow movie theaters to be open, they're going to open. And I'm willing to bet that they're going to want to put some of these movies, on the screens. Christopher Nolan's dying for people to see Tenet.
Well, you know, we can talk about where Tenet is now, and the latest rumor, which was really like as of this morning, is on like the Regal apps and Regal websites, it's now showing a release date on September 4th. So you can like pre-order tickets and look at really show times on September 4th. So we're looking still another month before the first major movie of the post-COVID 2020. And, you know, what is AMC supposed to open up a month before that and just flounder on some old licensed movies that they let AMC run?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm so at the point of dying to see a movie and wanting to support my favorite medium that, yeah, bro, I'll go see Back to the Future. I don't give a shit. Like, just to support, you know, like when all the restaurants opened, I made sure to go to all my favorite restaurants and support the places that I love going as they open to make sure that they can stay open. I'll do the same with the theater. I will do the same with my local theater to make sure that they stay thriving and that we can have the things that I enjoy, because this is getting beyond ridiculous.
Well, they're talking with Tenet that there's going to be potentially here a staggered release date, meaning everywhere outside of the U.S. is going to get it still in August, at sometime in August based off when they were going to release, say, in Europe. And it's just going to be the U.S. that's going to continue to get delayed to September 4th. And you've got to think, if you're all these other like European countries, if you're the movie nerd podcast in Europe, and you haven't seen a movie since March either, but you're looking at your country as... Yeah, you're looking at your country is open, but you just can't get any new movies because the U.S. market is still closed down. You got to be thinking like, all right, yeah, just we beat this thing. We're open for business over here. Send us our movies.
There's some fucking movie reviewer in Kazakhstan just waiting for this to come out. This is my time to shine, buddy. This is my big break.
you've just been chambering that Borat impression for months. This was it, guys. Yeah, I think it would make sense if for Tenet to release, you know, partial release in Europe and places that they can be seen. It's just, you know, at that point in time, you got to worry with movies like Tenet. You know, spoilers are a thing. Like, there's going to be big twists and turns in the way that movie plays out.
And I will go ape shit. I will go fucking ape shit.
Go ape shit on that Kazakhstani movie reviewer.
Not very nice. But I'm just so at a point where, like, we gotta at least give it a whirl. You know what I mean? If we get huge spikes because of the movie theaters, then so be it. Like, and I'm just so tired of being locked away from the things that I want to do within regulations. You know, I'll wear the mask. I'll socially distance. Like, I'm not saying let's pack the theaters. I just want to be able to go try. Meanwhile, there's 1,000 people protesting Columbus statues. There was a, like, multiple 1,000 people block party outside our mayor's house. Like, and it was called a protest because they were protesting her lockdown. They locked the city down again on Friday, and literally, like, we're talking Missy Elliott's playing in the background, people twerking, and, like, this is a protest? Like, this is okay? We're just gonna let this shit ride, but I can't go see Tenet? Like, it is just getting beyond frustrating, the hypocrisy in what is okay, what is not okay, and, yeah, I can't take it anymore. I just can't. Like, I'm ready to go find a movie theater speakeasy. Someone get a bootleg copy of Black Widow and some bootleg projector and put it in a warehouse basement, and I'll buy a ticket at this point. I don't give a fuck.
All right. Well, if listeners can't tell, this is kind of therapy for Steve here. this is his airing of grievances. I mean, we can finish up with just some of these other delays and some of these other big news when it comes to all
everything.
Of this nonsense,
everything is delayed.
Everything, but like Disney is not even giving a new update for a Mulan potential release. They
because
have just
we do
delayed
these stories
it
every week. Why even put a date on it anymore? Why even put a fucking date on it?
It's sad to think that, you know, yeah, we're this deep into the game. We can't even project any further. But then we look at even going out into the 2020, 21, 22 slate, Disney has already pushed back the Star Wars and Avatar movies. So we were supposed to get an Avatar movie this summer or this December for Christmas time. And then next year, Star Wars, then the year after Avatar. And it's supposed to be this flip-flopping December major releases between Avatar and Star Wars.
And like we said last week, a lot of this has to do with production issues. It's not like all these movies are in the can ready to go. Like that's one issue. Like,
how's Avatar not done being produced yet at this point in time? Like I don't know how that one's not chambered and ready to go. But either way, so we're seeing that, like, you know, when we look at Disney, we look at these major franchises for Disney, there are, you know, we're talking about year delays already coming from those. And then because of that, the Spider-Man next movie coming up for Spider-Man is moving into that Christmas season of 2021. Now that Avatar is not there, now that there's this big Disney gap going in into that December season, Spider-Man's moving from a summer release to a December release of 21 now.
Yeah, push it back, way back. That's all way, I can think of. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. Hey, we still haven't even hit second round of flu season yet. So let's see how this turns out. We can leave movie talk. And the only other thing that I just found entertaining, and I'm just going to briefly bring it up here, is that apparently Quibi's
not dead.
On its way out, but it's not dead. They're still snagging up talent. And Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson are doing an animated comedy series called Fudda Mucka.
It's not like they haven't blown through enough money yet.
Which I would want to watch Fudda Mucka.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time where apparently Ryan Reynolds' character gets becomes the caretaker of Samuel Jackson's character. And I don't know. I imagine at this point in time, Quibi is on its way out as far as a service. But if they can still just kind of keep these deals that they've got licensed up, they can at least sell it off to somebody else.
Yeah, like they got contracts to honor. And if they got to, you know, I'm assuming some of these production contracts were locked in. So they got to do it. And yeah, hopefully Fudda Mucka will hit Hulu or Netflix sometime in the near future.
All right, but that's it for entertainment. No real
there is good news no
coming out of entertainment.
There is no entertainment anymore.
Then we could jump over into our tech news topics. We've talked several times throughout the year and some change that we've been doing this thing about deepfakes and the concerns and threats around the technology. And MIT did a demonstration this week on how far deepfake technology has gotten, how good it is, and they did it as really like a public service. And it shows President Nixon doing his alternate speech as if the moon landing was a complete failure and the astronauts were stranded out on the moon to die. And I don't know if you did watch the deepfake?
I didn't get a chance to watch much of it. I clicked it just to see the quality.
It is phenomenal, and they not only show the deepfake of Nixon doing the speech, and you know it's a haunting speech about how, you know, Mother Earth sent two of its children to the moon, and you know they went there to explore, and now they're going to remain there to rest. And like it's an interesting speech that you could like a president would deliver that speech if this happened, and it looks exactly like it. And they demonstrate how they even put that together. Like there's an actor who's not in any way like a Nixon impersonator. He's not doing a Nixon voice. He's just talking and reading it off of a script. And then it's got Nixon in, you know, a grainy 1960s video mimicking all of his mannerisms, looking down at the paper when he looks down at the paper, showing the expression that he shows as he reads it. But he's not in any way doing a Nixon impersonation. So it's a great demonstration of not just the video deepfake, but also the audio deepfake in mimicking.
Well, it kind of reminded me of like, so I could be wrong, but the first kind of major popular usage of like deepfake technology would kind of be like those Forrest Gump scenes of Nixon and Kennedy, right? Like, wouldn't that technically be kind of like the first deepfake? And to just see like where it's come from with the same person, you know, Nixon was in Forrest Gump, you know, got shot in the ass or whatever. That was the scene he did with Nixon.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see this Nixon video, like, we've come a long way since Forrest Gump. And this technology is only going to get better. Foreign players, and like, this is gonna be bad, man. Like, we did a Cantina conversation on deep fakes just to try to bring some information to the people about how bad this is gonna get. And man, if this is just confirmation that it's like we are 3 to 5 years away from just wear blindfolds, don't believe anything you see on a screen, it's over, folks. It's over.
I think that timeline you're talking about, within 3 to 5 years, it's going to be, the naked eye will not be able to detect the changes or detect the subtle differences in the deep fake. And then, you know, computer systems, Facebook had that big competition to challenge individuals to write code that can an AI that could detect deep fakes. But that can only work for so long, based on the fact that deepfakes are self-learning, and if it knows what it's doing that allows it to be detected, it will fix those problems. So it's a weird technology, and you know, the movie industry and stuff like that is going to do it and do it very well. Supposedly, like, Disney has really invested into deepfake for future movies, and we're going to see it play out in movies very well. We're only a year away from when, like, Irishman had the de-aging technology, and there's people living in mom's basement right now that could do better than what Hollywood did last year.
Well, they still got Disney's fast. Head on ice. Like, they could be planning some really messed up stuff right now. We don't even know. We're not privy to that info.
So it's we'll see where this technology goes, but the link for the video will be found at our show notes for this episode. And if you want to go check it out, just, you know, YouTube the Nixon deepfake, and you'll see it. It's impressive what they put together, and it's impressive how they put it together. So scary technology for sure. And then we can move over. We'll talk about some Neuralink news, in the sense of Elon Musk is now claiming that you can stream music to your brain through Neuralink. I think Neuralink's going to eventually do everything, like this synergy with the AI, with the
system. How am I going to let everybody know I'm cool if I don't have AirPods hanging out of my ear? Like, how is the world supposed to know that I'm better than you if I don't have the most expensive headset on?
That's true. You'll just have to, like, bedazzle your Neuralink little chip so that way everybody can see that you're walking around with the brain chip, that there's going to be some way to tag yourself as Neuralink. But you got to think, it hasn't really been said before. Really, most of what Neuralink talked about was brain-to-device interface, that you can control your smartphone, you can control your app, search the internet, and do things like that through Neuralink. But the audio piece I'd never heard before. So now talking about how, hey, we're going to be able to stream music to your brain, which means that you won't be able to just stream music to your brain. You know, you'll be able to take your phone calls directly to your brain. Like, a deaf person doesn't need, you know, somebody who's got, actual damage to their ears, that their ears don't function, can potentially regain hearing.
And I'm wondering, like, exactly how this works, because, you know, your ear functions by sound waves hitting, you know, sensors in your ear that translates it
all
into sounds.
Into electrical impulses.
Yeah, like, but it kind of, like, makes me think, like, are you, like, tapping into my consciousness? Like, how does this actually work? Like, this makes me question human consciousness in general. Like, if you could just send me sound waves without anything actual, like an actual sound wave hitting my ear just through electrical impulses, my entire consciousness is just a series of electrical impulses.
I mean, so, yes, that's the truth.
So, like,
everything can be mapped through electrical impulses.
You know, is that voice in my head even my voice anymore?
Like, I mean, it won't be here.
He's not alone anymore. He's not going to be alone anymore. Like, Can I change my inner monologue to a British chick, like on my Google? Like, so when I think it's in a female British accent?
I imagine yes. That's probably going to be a thing.
I have to assume at this point, yes.
Yeah. I imagine us all just wandering around like Halo with Cortana just chirping in our ear.
Man, down. So down. Like, give me a hologram on my palm so I could see her every once in a while, and so down. I just,
you don't even need the hologram on your palm. They could just Neuralink it
to my eye,
to your visual,
straight to my eye,
to your augment, visual receptors. They could make reality. You think that you're seeing it.
This is so weird, man. This is so weird. Like, I really can't wait till like the first human trials. Like, I'm not all in on getting Neuralink yet, but I want to know what this be about. Like, I really want to see what the capabilities are. I want to talk to some human that is using it, if he's even paying attention to me while I'm talking to him, with the million things that he can do with his own brain now. Like, yeah. Human attention span is gone, folks. Say bye to the human attention span. You're not going to be able to have a meaningful conversation with anybody after this.
And if some sci-fi writer hasn't already written some futuristic book using Neuralink and hacking people's Neuralinks to make them nuts and never let them sleep and talk in their head, and
how do you not cheat? How do you not cheat on your chemistry test after this? If I could just uplink info from my phone to my brain and hear it in real time without anybody knowing, how do you teach kids, like, when they have Google in their brain?
The bigger question is, does it matter? does cheating on these tests and things like that matter if it becomes that point that everybody just has it on Google? Why do I need to memorize these things when I can recall it perfectly at any point in time through the internet?
Well, if you have kids around the teenage age, you do realize then that they have the option to Google it now, but they still come ask your fucking ass why this is. Like, I even have those friends, like, hey man, do you know how to, like, or do you know what the blah 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 is? And it's like, you know, you could have Googled that in the time it took you to ask me. Yeah,
you could have literally just put that same question in Google and got an immediate response.
But no, you decided to call me. So no matter how many chips we put in people's brains, I think human laziness might still trump all of that.
That's possible. But we'll see, as a lot of these things are going to be driven by AI systems. When we talk about Elon Musk with Neuralink, and then he's also got his company on the AI side and with OpenAI, and he's now created some OpenAI text generator that is blowing people away as far as how well it's like writing its own blog and answering people's questions.
Because that's what the world needed, was more bloggers.
But it's actually like coherently writing like a human being. Its reasoning might be a little probably not dumb, but probably above our head.
You think the AI is going to get mad when its mom and dad won't even read its own blog? when nobody clicks its link, is it going to get depressed?
But yeah, this OpenAI GPT-3 is what it's coming up. It is fascinating that what it's writing about. There's somebody in there who, like, asked it, essentially had a question with it about God and about who is God. And it's wild, the like moral reasoning that this AI went through. Yeah. And it also declared itself above humans.
Like, so, it ain't lying, though.
It's not lying.
It ain't lying.
I think it's a true statement. But yeah, it's really interesting. And then there was, you know, some people complaining when you ask it questions about like social issues, what it would come up with would be very much not what the political correct response would be.
Well, because it's got no emotions. It's got no feelings. It's just basing all of its answers off empirical data and what it's learned through massive internet searches and things like that. So basically AI says, fuck your feelings, this is what I think, and spits out a bunch of shit. And you may not like the answer, and you have no one to get mad at because it's a machine.
Yeah. And yeah, some people talking about, yeah, we need more progress and we need responsible AI. It's like, you can't teach responsible AI. Like, that's the whole point of machine learning. Like, it observes things and it self-learns. And if the observations are pointing it in one direction, well, fuck, maybe we need to rethink some things.
Well, it took humans how long to get woke. Let's see what it takes the AI. It uses just basic like logic and machine learning. You know, you can't get mad at the machine. Like, it's just this, it's watching human nature and it's watching, you know, everything that goes on. Like, it's taking in so much information, and then this is what it deduces from it. So if you don't like what the AI is saying, it's really just a reflection of humanity.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't have your perception. You know, like, everybody perceives the human's existence as something different for everybody. Well, this is what a machine thinks. It takes all in the information, and then it's going to give you a brutally honest opinion.
But, I mean, we'll see that kind of technology here, I think, really ramp up as they're doing a great job building it. And then it's, you know, you're going to go into some chat window in some customer service for whatever company you've got a problem with, and you'll have no idea if there's a human on the other end of that, or if it's the OpenAI chat bot just answering your questions, hopefully more efficiently. Hopefully it's not that, hey, you're in the queue for the next 5 minutes waiting to talk to somebody. It's like, no, you get an immediate response because the bot is ready for you.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't care if it's a human or a bot that tells me to unplug my modem and wait 10 seconds at this point. Like, I got the gist. Have you tried resetting your router? Yes, Rajesh. I've reset my fucking router. Okay, can we move past this?
But if we were worried about the pace at which AI was learning, the next story is in line with that. And there's been some research done, and they found that the AI machine learning can take place even faster if they make a shift to photons or to light. So like the headline was that machines can learn at the speed of light, and it's one of the limiting factors when it comes to machine learning is just the electrical requirements of the processor units for machine learning. And if they can use,
basically, they talk about fiber optics, and instead of using cables and shit, use fiber optics.
Yeah, and if they could do that, it would drastically reduce the power consumption for machine learning systems. And then it says by an order of magnitude of 2 or 3, it would be able to increase the speed at which the machine learning can actually process through data, which is one of the harder things, is how long it takes for it to essentially pull data, do the comparisons, do all the things that it needs to do in order to learn good and bad. And
it always amazes me as to how like slow humans are to make like these changes. You know, like, so knowing this now, it's like, okay, well, if we were to invent the computer over again, knowing this information, we'd use light instead of cables, and we would do this and that. Like, but it's going to be how many years before they roll out this first AI with fiber optics? Same thing with like the car. You know, if we were to build the car over right now, would we say, hey, we should probably use the, you know, a combustion engine that has a finite fuel and eventually will run out and cause all kinds of mass economic implications? No, if we were to reinvent the car right now, knowing what we know and the technology we have, every goddamn car would be electric. There would not be one gas engine on the damn planet, you know, but we're so slow moving over to electric. It's the same thing with like this tech. I think like we realize we have a better system. Let's slowly roll it out and implement it over the next period of 5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, no, build that shit tomorrow. Like, tomorrow.
I'm sure there's other downsides, especially when we talk about like actually having photon-driven processor units and stuff like that. That is something I can't necessarily speak about, but I'm sure that there are significant downsides to it in the sense of durability, size, and everything else needed for it. But either way, we might, you know, in some limited capacity, start building
these things. First computer took up an entire floor of a warehouse. Like, what are we talking about here, really? Like, just get it done, man. Just get it done.
But we can, I guess, move on to one other Elon Musk adjacent story, but in the tech world, where we look at the competition between Amazon, Google, Tesla, all these self-driving autonomous, it is a significant battleground between all these companies trying to come to some level of supremacy in automated driving. And Amazon recently bought the company Zoox, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that company was a startup looking at autonomous driving. Amazon buys it up, and largely because what that company had better than most was their actual, like, optical sensors. Yeah, the AI.
That's what it said. They wanted the optical sensors. So it's not necessarily their version of the self-driving car, but the tech that they were putting in their self-driving cars is beyond anybody else's optical. So they were like, we want that tech. It's typical, you know, tech buyout kind of shit. You want the patents.
Yeah. And then you slap it in a bunch of smiley face vans all over this country.
Well, Amazon's been rolling out that commercial every goddamn hour where they say, you know, we purchased over 100,000 electric vehicles. We're going to be totally self-reliant on wind and solar by 2030 or whatever it is. Like, they're doing a big media campaign right now showing how they're going to be self-sustaining, you know, in the next 10, 20 years. So this is part of that.
Yeah, electric vehicles that the delivery driver is really just the dude in the back prepping your package for when he shows up to the house to walk to your house, but the van will drive itself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
Yep.
Same. I really don't give a shit.
Maybe it'll actually drive slower through my neighborhood.
I know, ain't it? Ain't it, man? Like, I get it that you got to get these packages out, bro, but my kids play in my front yard and I will bust your head wide open, you come flying down my street.
All right, but that's it for those tech updates, specifically Musk-adjacent ones there. And we can cover this latest in the hacking story. You know, we talk a lot about various hacking issues, and this one's just a really interesting story with Garmin. Garmin now, at the time that the article that I read about it was a couple days ago, I think Garmin's still under an outage today. To where their Garmin Connect app, where you can't upload, if you went on a run with your Garmin watch, you can't upload it to your actual account.
The one I thought was messed up is the flight navigation system.
Right.
So a lot of these prop planes and stuff like that have Garmins in it for their navigation, and that's all down too.
Yeah, so they can't download flight paths, so they're grounded essentially. I mean, they could fly without instruments. They're all supposed to know how to do that, but I'm not going.
Not today.
So, yeah, the Garmin, and really what it was is they got some ransomware that hit their systems, and essentially what it's done is it's segmented parts of their systems, and then it's encrypted it, and they're now being asked to pay what's been reported through some, like, leaked corporate emails, $10 million ransom in order to end this outage.
With anything
that's impossible to know, you could pay those $10 million. It doesn't mean you're going to get the encryption key. It doesn't mean that they're not going to some way have the ability to do this to you again. So paying the ransom doesn't necessarily solve your problems, but not paying this ransom is drastically affecting your customer base and your brand as a whole, and damaging your brand and it's even gotten to a point where, like, the ransomware had blocked off their call centers and their customer service. Like, yeah, they've got their, so they couldn't even, people had outages and then they couldn't even get it addressed or get it answered until essentially these leaks came out and explained what's going on. But Garmin itself has not come out and made a public statement about it.
Yeah, this is messed up, man. Like, it's And the more successful these types of things are, the more prevalent it's going to get.
Yeah. And you've got to wonder, as people start teleworking more and everything else, like how many more open points do you have for something like this to get into your system when you've got, you know, 200 employees working from home off of their unsecured router and logging in with your corporate whatever email and corporate systems and corporate computer.
Well, I see companies at some point maybe investing into company-wide VPNs or something like that. You know, it's going to be...
Yeah, and there are some that mandate VPN use and things already as one tactic.
So I'm sure they're going to have to figure it out. Like, the companies are not going to leave themselves open to this, especially the Googles and the Microsofts of the world. You know, once they really get a hold on it, they're just going to roll it out for other companies and charge them for it. And
then the next story in space news, really, as we look at, there's a Russian anti-satellite weapon that so the U.S. is accusing Russia of testing. Essentially what it was a satellite, and it's a satellite that's been kind of tracked by the U.S. and by Space Command, and a missile-like thing came off the satellite, moving faster than satellites, and it was assumed that that was a test of an anti-satellite missile. So a missile launched from a satellite that could potentially be used to target or destroy other satellites or, I don't know, alien spacecraft. Well, in
Russia, just said, like, no, it's just a maintenance satellite. And it got really close to some Russian satellites, backed off. It was like, look, it's just inspecting other satellites. See, we're not doing anything bad. Like, and then, oh, we're going to shoot this missile real quick. No, nobody saw that. Nobody saw that. It's all good.
And I think for anybody to believe that, like, anti-satellite missiles and stuff like that isn't in development by every nation that has a significant space program, I think that's foolish. I'm certain that we have anti-space satellites.
We for sure have one. Like
I get it. We're not supposed to do that. Space treaties say we're not supposed to. But everybody is coming up with their concept of how to protect and potentially dismantle the space programs of their adversaries. So not a big surprise here if Russia has the technology and is using it, but to actually test it in space out of an active satellite, if it's true, it's a big step towards kind of violating and being an open defiance of the treaties and maintaining space as this neutral domain.
And this is the rush for, you know, colonizing the moon and stuff, you know, like, for us to defend our satellites from Earth and have to leave this orbit is a big pain in the ass, you know. But if we could set up a Space Force base on the moon, it becomes a little easier to send out, you know, some space defense to our spy satellites. This is just going to get really kind of like, the future is now. Like every movie that you've watched, all this Star Trek shit, all, like, we are approaching the reality of these things right now.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll see. So this week, this last week, we also saw the first Chinese mission to Mars. Not manned, obviously, but the first Chinese mission to Mars as far as launching spacecraft, an exploration mission, the Tianwen 1. Moving towards Mars, we also got the first, like, Middle Eastern country, UAE, also launched a rocket on a mission to Mars this week. So we're not the only ones going out there and exploring Mars, getting some data and scientific research and exploration out that direction. So everybody else is kind of following similar priorities as far as what we are seeing here.
Yeah. Everyone laughed when we made Space Force as it was like a joke, but like no one really...
Well, we didn't laugh.
Yeah, no, we didn't laugh. Like, this is needed. Like, for sure, this is needed.
Those space members are doing the country's work. I still don't know what they're called.
I just think of alien wangs anytime you say that.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what they're called as far as their... An individual person in the Space Force, but I'm still sticking with space members.
Yeah, I mean, sounds like alien porn.
Yeah, I mean, Space Force is who tracked the Russian satellite, the potential weapons test, and that's the point. Space Force was never about space members going to Mars or, you know, establishing bases out in space or anything like that. It was all about defense of our space infrastructure and assets, and you know, tracking future threats is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot riding on our satellite systems. Like, a couple of these things go down, you're going to be mad. You're going to be real mad.
Yeah, I mean, we look at just a civilian app on the Garmin side, grounding planes and stuff that rely on it. Well, what happens if the actual GPS signals themselves are somehow rendered obsolete? Then you look at commercial flights and everything else being being grounded.
Back to sonar and radar. Bringing it old school.
And then in just cool robot news, did you check out this Gundam?
There's that Gundam is fucking massive.
There's a 60-foot tall Gundam being built for, I don't know, because it's Japan and they do whatever the fuck they want. And they have built a 60-foot tall Gundam that they were doing some actual like walking tests with it. And honestly, I've seen like pictures of this thing online and I really just thought it was
like a statue.
Just like a gimmick. Yeah, just like a gimmicky statue thing.
But nah, the this fact motherfucker that
this
walks.
Thing was actually moving, it's not walking yet, but they were just testing out its legs, how well it moves, the mechanisms that, you know, the knees and hips, and making sure that it can actually go. So it's testing really like one leg at a time, but not taking forward steps yet. But it will. Like this thing is going to be a functioning.
We are like kind of 10, 15 years away from like crazy Olympic battle bots, bro. I'm all for this. Like every country, make your bot, send them to the moon, and mob shit. Just mob shit.
We're going Pacific Rim.
Put them in the middle of the Sahara. Yeah, put them in the middle of the Sahara. Let's duke it out, robot style.
But we got to combine like all the technology. So it's like Pacific Rim, but without the weird suits, and because with Neuralink, fuck it.
Yeah.
Just get the Gundams and then just load me up in the Matrix to that Gundam.
Yep.
And I'll control it. Just
boot up Chuck
on my
Norris,
couch.
Motherfucker. We're wrecking shop.
Like all the technology and the directions that we're heading is greater than the sci-fi that we grew up with. It's
all
just
I know
slower.
Is I'm going to be a really old man with just a completely blown mind. Like all you kids and all these future generations are just going to take this shit for granted. And I'm going to be old as shit in a wheelchair, listening to Spotify through my dome with my mind just straight blown that I lived this long to see it. Like,
yeah. All we wanted was a fucking hoverboard from Back to the Future.
I know. It's like bottom line. That's really what we wanted. And still, nothing, no word on that. No word. Now we're talking about walking Gundams. Still, no word on hoverboards.
Yeah,
we just got the laceless shoe like 4 years ago. we're on really shitty pace for this fucking for our Back to the Future tech. I mean, the Cubs even won the World Series like only 1 year off.
Yeah.
what are we doing here? I did see a kid. I was driving at work the other day and I did see a kid riding down the street on like this skateboard with a giant wheel in the middle.
Oh yeah, the one wheels?
Yeah,
oh,
the one wheels. Like
I want one bad.
He like it's always been a thing. Like I'd never seen anyone riding one ever in my life, and this dude was just going to the store on this one wheel skateboard.
They ride like a snowboard. Yeah, so like you edge on it like a snow. I want one.
I was at a red light and he was crossing the street in front of me. I go, well, I guess this is a thing now.
Yeah. I mean I was out riding my my bicycle and there was somebody on just those literally one wheel things. There's no board at all. It's just a platform. It's like a one wheel Segway that you just stand on and you just pinch between your legs and just ride.
What?
Yeah. And those things rip. Those things move fast. And there's no protection. Like, this dude was like, you could tell he's either really nervous or he's eaten it before, because he had like wrist pads on and elbow pads. Like, that dude has eaten it before at some point in time on the street.
Yeah, I mean, fuck exercise, right? Like, let's just be as mobile as we can in the laziest of fashions, in the most compact of fashions.
Yeah, I feel like a sucker. I was pedaling my bike.
Pedaling's for rubes.
Yeah, I was pedaling my bike like an idiot. As you know, you hit these steep hills and some 60-year-old woman on an e-bike just comes cruising past you as I'm on a high-end triathlon trainer bike, and somebody on just an e-bike just goes cruising past me.
Like, damn, Dolores, it's like that, huh? Oh man, the future is crazy. You don't even know where to think anymore. You don't even know what direction it is. You know, before we used to have sci-fi movies and TV shows kind of give us a direction on where tech was probably going to end up. You could look at old episodes of Star Trek and old movies, and now they are the future, you know, like data pads or iPads now and iPhones and all kind of, like, all these things. And now we're at a point where I don't even think the movies of today can predict what's going to come out. Like, it's insane. I'm along for the ride.
Yeah, for sure. I think sci-fi has fallen short in a lot of areas where we thought we're going to be untouchable. So it's interesting. We'll keep covering these stories and keep talking about this weird, crazy tech. So with that said, it's the end of episode 92 here. And join us again for future episodes to hear those latest stories. And before that happens, jump over and like, share, subscribe, and give us a rating review if you have a minute to do so. Greatly helps us.
Yeah, and always come back and hit the download button on your local podcast player, so it automatically downloads, helps us with our numbers, and then it's easy for you to tune in next week as we tell you inevitably what movie gets pushed back.
All of them. All right. Well, with that said, thanks again. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.